Vinayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Chapter entitled Questions by the Sages, text number 14. Apana samsvitim goram yannama vivashogrinan tata sajyo vimuchyeta yad vibeti
swayambhayam.
Apana, being entangled. Samsmritim, in the hurdle of birth and death. Goram, too complicated. Yat, what? Nama, the absolute name. Vivasha, unconsciously. Grinan, chanting. Tata, from that. Sajya, at once. Vimucheta, gets freedom. Yat, that which. Vibeti, fears. Swayam, personally. Bhayam, fear itself. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Translation responsibly. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Purport. Vasudeva, or Lord Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the supreme controller of everything. There is no one in creation who is not afraid of the rage of the Almighty. Great asuras like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and others, who were very powerful living entities, were all killed by the personality of Godhead. And the Almighty Vasudev has empowered his name with the powers of his personal self. Everything is related to him, and everything has its identity in him. It is stated herein that the name of Krishna is feared even by fear personified. This indicates that the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Therefore, the name of Krishna is as powerful as Lord Krishna himself. There is no difference at all. Anyone, therefore, can take advantage of the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, even in the midst of the greatest dangers. The transcendental name of Krishna, even though uttered unconsciously or by force of circumstances, can help one obtain freedom from the hurdle of birth and death. Omigyan Timanandasya Ginanjina Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha petitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is chapter 1 or the first canto? What is chapter 1 called?
Questions by the sages.
Who are the sages? Sages of? Naimisharanya. And who is speaking? Suta Goswami. Who is a disciple of? Shukadeva Goswami. Remember we said previously that when Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, he called Suta Goswami. There was an assembly of sages on the bank of the Ganga, and he called Suta Goswami close by. He said, sit very close. He said, because you'll have to repeat this message again in the future. So for 230 years, then he began to meditate on the meaning of the Bhagavatam. And after 230 years, he fully realized the purport of the Bhagavatam. And realizing the purport of the Bhagavatam, he then spoke to the sages at Naimisharanya. Because his father, Rombaharshan Sutta, as we described previously, is described later on in the 10th canto, this pastime is described, Rombaharshan Sutta failed to offer obeisances to Lord Balaram when Lord Balaram entered the assembly. So Lord Balaram became angry, and Balaram took up a piece of grass and touched his neck, and his head fell off. And all the sages were quite shocked. Just imagine someone came in now and touched my head, and my head fell on the ground. So you'd be quite shocked. You'd say, okay, he probably deserves it, but maybe that's a little bit radical, considering we're having a Bhagavatam class. So all the sages were shocked, and they said to Lord Balaram, this is not appropriate. Now we don't have anyone to speak the Bhagavatam. So Lord Balaram said, I will install Suta Goswami, his son, on the asana. He is more qualified than the father, actually. And he represents the father. So in one sense, there is no difference. The speaker will still be there because the son represents the father and he is more qualified as well. So then he was put there. And then they said to him that still you must show some repentance because otherwise people will not learn. They will misunderstand your example, possibly, in the future. So then he was asked by the sages to please repent for this. So then he travelled to the different holy places of pilgrimage, and he purified the places of pilgrimage, but he set an example after he decapitated Rombaharshan Sutta. So then Suta Goswami is sitting there, and the sages, they begin by asking questions. So how many questions do they ask? Six questions. What are the questions? Does anyone remember them? Hands up if you know the six, the whole six. Okay, so we have to go through them again. What is the essence of the Vedas? I think we have to look carefully, but I think it's Shloka 9, Shloka 11, and then we have to look through and see where the others are. The final shloka is the sixth question, like that. What is the essence of the Vedas? What is the ultimate good for all people? Please tell us about Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Please tell us about Krishna's Leela incarnations. Please tell us about his Purusha incarnations who create this world. And please tell us where Dharma and knowledge have gone in the age of Kali Yuga. Where have Dharma and knowledge gone in the age of Kali Yuga? Where are they now? In the Bhagavatam. Yeah, this is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna has gone. He is not physically on the planet anymore. But Krishna has entered the Bhagavatam. Dharma, eternal religion, which means Sanatan Dharma or Bhakti Yoga, the opportunity to serve Krishna, and knowledge, Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge, has entered the pages of the Bhagavatam. So it is non-different from Krishna. It's Krishna in literature form. So now, in this verse, this is verse 14, it is being described the glories of chanting the holy name. Now, as we said previously, at the end of the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, Srila Jiva Goswami points out that one of the main purposes of the Bhagavatam is to explain the glories of chanting the holy names of Krishna. This is one of the main purposes why the Bhagavatam is spoken. And Jiva Goswami explains that in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, which means this is the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, 14th verse of the very first chapter, we're hearing a verse which is describing the glories of chanting the holy names. So this is one of the main purposes of the Bhagavatam, to establish the Yuga Dharma, or to allow us to understand the significance of chanting the holy name of Krishna. So this is how the Bhagavatam begins. It glorifies the holy name. And then all through the Bhagavatam, constantly, you'll see in every canto, there are verses glorifying the chanting of the holy name. Harinam Anu Kirtanam. Actually, in the second canto, the beginning of the second canto, it is described the process of perfection that the Bhagavatam explains is Harinam Anu Kirtanam. Harinam means the name of Hari. Who is Hari? What does Hari mean? Yeah, Hari is the name of a lion. The lion is called Hari. So what happens if the lion walks in here right now? If a lion walks in, what will happen? He will take whatever he wants. You can't argue with him. That is Krishna. Krishna is Hari. Hari means lion. Means Krishna will take whatever he wants. You just try to stop him. That's why we always say, Hari Bol. Take whatever you want, because you're going to anyway. We don't have any choice. Krishna says, I want your false ego. No, you're too puffed up. I want your false ego. And you say, well, I'm still attached to it. And Krishna says, well, you don't have a choice. I take whatever I want. And then he goes, there's your false ego. There is your pride. You think you're such a big devotee. Just like sometimes we're doing service and we think, I'm so good, I'm such a good devotee. I'm giving class, I give such good classes, right? And then you're speaking in front of everyone, there's 100 devotees there, and you're speaking and you're giving class and everyone's listening, and then you start thinking, I'm giving such a good class. And then suddenly everything that you're thinking about in your mind just suddenly disappears. Right? It's happened to me. Right? And then everything just gone. And then you're looking at everyone and you're thinking, I've got no idea what I'm talking about. Right? And everyone's looking at you thinking, he's got no idea what he's talking about. And then you have to, pray to Krishna, become humble again. And if you become a little bit humble, Krishna fills the brain back up. He says, okay, here it is. This is what you were talking about. Gyanam smritya apohanam cha. Krishna says, I'm knowledge, I'm remembrance, and I'm also forgetfulness. So Krishna can take it away from you anytime he likes. So Hari means Krishna, the one who takes everything away. Hari Nam. Nama means the name of Krishna. Name. Hari Nam, the name of Krishna. Hari Nam. The Nam is non-different from Krishna. Nama, Chintamani, Krishna. Chaitanya, Rasa, Vigraha. Puno, Puna, Shuddho, Nitya, Mukto, Abhinitvan, Nama, Namino. This is a verse from Padma Purana. It's a very special verse describing the holy name. Nama, the holy name of Krishna is Chintamani. What does Chintamani mean? Not touchstone. Not touchstone. Touchstone is called Sparshamani. There's a particular stone which, when you touch it to anything, it turns it into gold. This is called Sparshamani. Who had one of these Sparshamanis? Sanatana Goswami. Yeah, Sanatana Goswami had a Sparshamani. And one person came to him and said, dear Sanatanji, I hear that you have a Sparshamani, a touchstone. Whatever you touch it to, it turns it into gold. And Sanatana said, yes, I do. I have one. And he said, where is it? And he said, I think I left it over there in the rubbish pile. And he said, really? And he said, yeah, I think it's just over there in the rubbish pile. So he went over there and he looked through the rubbish and he found the Sparshamani. And he looked at it, he said to Sanatana, can I have it? And Sanatana said, take it, as you like. So he took it and he walked down the road and he thought, I have the Sparshamani. I can turn anything into gold. And then he got halfway down the road and he thought, well, why has he just given it to me? Why, if it's so valuable, why did he just give that to me? Like that. So he came back and he said to Sanatana Goswami, he said, why did you just give it to me? He said, you must have something more valuable. And Sanatana says, yes, I have something much more valuable. Like that. And he says, then give me that. And Sanatana Goswami said, I'll give it to you, but you put the Sparshamani back in the rubbish pile. Right? And if you put it back there, then I will give you the more valuable thing. So he put the Sparshamani back and he came and he sat next to Sanatana Goswami. He said, please give me the most valuable thing. So he gave him Harinam Diksha, which he initiated him into the chanting of the holy name. The holy name is the most valuable thing in creation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it is his life and his soul. There is nothing more valuable than the holy name. But we take the holy name for granted. Every day we think we can just ignore the holy name or disrespect or be inattentive to the holy name. Just imagine someone comes to your home and you invite them there for prasad, and then they get there and then they walk in and you say, please have a seat on the couch, and then you say, I've just got to do a few things. And then you go into the other room and you begin to do your ironing, and then you come past, you walk past and say, I'll be back soon, like that. And then you go off and you take a bath, and then you come back and you say, oh, I just remembered I had to do something else today. Just help yourself, just go into the kitchen, everything's ready, like that, sit down, make yourself. Then how does the person feel? Not very good. But this is the way we chant the holy name every day. Krishna comes, we say Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. We say, Krishna, please come. Radharani, please come. And then what do? When they come, they say, okay, I am here, you called me. And then what do? We say, actually, I've got something else to do, which is more important right now. I have to think about, I have to entertain all the thoughts in my mind, which is very important. All that stuff that we think about every day is very important. Really important, actually. You don't even know how important it is, what goes on in my mind. Wow, it's important. Just like, imagine in the morning, all the Prabhus are sitting in here in the temple, chanting, right? And then all the Matajis say they're in Prabhupada's room, they're all chanting. And then we had a screen up on the wall, and then it was connected to our brain. And then whatever we're thinking about while we're chanting, that gets put onto the screen. So you imagine how embarrassing it is, right? You're all chanting, trying to chant your japa, and then you look up and you see what's going on in Keshava's mind. And you think, that's what he thinks about? Well, he's chanting japa. Right? 5:30 in the morning, he's thinking of that. It's ridiculous. So this is what takes place. We invite Krishna. Krishna, please come. Radharani, please come. And then we go off and we do something else. And sometimes we're not there the whole time. Sometimes for 2 hours we're practically not even there. And then just as we're leaving, just as we're finishing like the last few beads, then we start actually being attentive. And we say, oh, sorry Krishna, I spaced out for 2 hours. Now how would Krishna feel? Imagine someone came to your house for 2 hours and you just like wander off and do everything, and then after 2 hours you come back and say, oh, sorry, so sorry. So we have to learn to chant attentively. So Sanatana Goswami, he gave Harinam Diksha to this devotee. So this is Chintamani. Nama Chintamani. So the holy name is not touchstone, it is not Sparshamani, it is Chintamani. What is Chintamani? What is it?
Desire
fulfilling. Yeah, Chintamani. Lord Brahma says in Brahma Samhita, Chintamani, the entire spiritual world is made of Chintamani. Chinta means
conscious.
Chit. Chit means conscious. Chinta means conscious. Chintamani, a conscious stone. Everything in the spiritual world is conscious. Every gem on the ground. In the spiritual world, the ground is covered with gems. Inestimable in value. And all of those gems are conscious. They are devotees of Krishna. So, the holy name is Chintamani. It is conscious. And the holy name can fulfill any of your desires. A Chintamani gem can fulfill any of your desires. A Kalpavriksha tree, in the spiritual world, there are Kalpavrikshas. Kalpavriksha means? Wish fulfilling tree. What does that mean? You go to the tree, and whatever you desire, that fruit manifests. So one of the gopis says to you, go and pick some fruits to offer to Radha and Krishna. So you go to the tree, and in your mind you think, I want to offer them mango. And then, mango. You'll be impressed when you get back there. It's an amazing place. It just comes in front of you. You're attached to Albert Park. You're attached to this material world. You're attached to gum trees. The spiritual world is made of kalpa vriksha, trees that just manifest fruit. If you don't believe it, then go and join some other group. But if you believe it, one day you will see it with your eyes. So in the spiritual world, it describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Mahaprabhu would do kirtan with his devotees for many hours, and then everyone became tired, fatigued. So Mahaprabhu took one pip from the mango fruit and he put it in the ground, and in front of everyone's eyes the tree manifest. This is what Lord Chaitanya can do. In front of everyone's eyes the tree just grew, and then mangoes grew on the branches of the trees. And it said each mango was so big it could fill 12 men. So how big is that? Because I can eat a lot. So it must be like, big mango. And it said the mango had no seed and no skin. Do you believe this or not?
Yes.
Lord Chaitanya, he can do it in front of everyone. Everyone had a mango feast. They offered the mango to Mahaprabhu. It all became prasad. Everyone had mango feast, satisfied themselves, quenched their thirst, their fatigue. Then they began Sankirtan again. So the holy name is Chintamani. Nama Chintamani Krishnas. Krishna's name is Chintamani. It means when you chant the name of Krishna, it can fulfill any desire which is in your heart. You have to think very carefully what is in your heart, because the holy name can fulfill any desire which is in your heart. The holy name is reciprocated. Krishna is a person. Just like if I come to your house, in a very cultured society, in a very cultured house, you go to someone's house, they say, what do you want? I'll cook something for you. What do you want? Whatever you want, I will make it. What do you want? Paratha? You want? What do you want? Chapati? What do you want? You want puri? What do you want? You want sabji? What do you want? You want dokla? What do you want? So people, whatever. So people, they will reciprocate fulfilled desires. Krishna is a person. He can fulfill any desire which is in our heart. So if we go to Krishna and our desire in the heart, if it is material, Krishna can easily fulfill that. Whatever you want. Krishna, I want money. Krishna says, I have so much money. No, what's the problem? Krishna, you say to Krishna, I want a beautiful wife. Krishna says, no problem, here, have a beautiful wife. In 50 years she'll look ugly, but after she has 3 kids she'll look ugly, but anyway, have one, have a beautiful wife, no problem. What is the problem? Krishna, I want this. Krishna, I want that. Krishna can give you whatever you want. So you be careful when you're chanting. You have to look deep within your heart because it is reciprocal. Krishna says, "Ye yata mam praprajyamte tams tataiva bhajam yaham." As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. Whatever you desire, I will give it to you. If you want material things, I will give you that as well. But we read in the Bhagavatam last night, 5th canto, 19th chapter, 17th verse, I think. 19. Do you know that verse? You know what I'm talking about? 17. It's 17 or 21. Somewhere around there. It's in the end of that 19th chapter. I think 17. Or might be 21. I can't remember. Might be 24. I can't remember. Might be 29, actually. I can't remember. This is Kali Yuga. I can't remember. But at the end of the 19th chapter, in the 5th canto, it says that if a devotee approaches Krishna with material desires, Krishna will fulfill those material desires, but not in a way that the devotee will ever desire that thing again. That's happened to me many times as a devotee. I've had some material desire, and Krishna says, yeah, no problem, here it is. And then he gives it to you in such a way that you never want it again. Or, if you don't never want it again, because we're not so intelligent, we still want it again, but you start to learn over time. You say to Krishna, I want this thing. Krishna says, okay, have it. And then you get kicked in the face. And then you think, okay, maybe that wasn't so good. But, okay, I'll just have it one more time. This time it'll be different. Right? So then you get it again. And then it kicks you in the face. And you think, okay, maybe I'm doing something wrong here. I'll do it again. Like that. But gradually, you start learning. This will not satisfy you. Gradually. It takes time. It takes time to become detached. Some mornings we wake up as devotees and we say, that's it, no more material desires. I've fully surrendered to Krishna. I have no more material attachments. I don't want to get in Maya ever again. Okay, maybe a little bit. But not like that. So it takes time to become fully renounced. So Nama Chintamani, Chintamani Krishna's. The holy name is Chintamani. It will fulfill your desires. So you have to be conscious of what you're desiring while you're chanting. What are you desiring while you're chanting? What is in your heart while you're chanting? What is your desire? What is it that you want? Especially next week is... Sri Krishna Janmashtami. The most auspicious day of the year. Right? You can't even get in the temple room at Mangalati. The only day of the year you see it like this. Biggest day of the year, biggest festival of the year. There's a big festival in the spiritual world on that day. Big festival. We think this festival is big, but it's nothing. You think the festival is big at Juhu or Bhaktivedanta Manor, that's nothing. You should see what goes on up in Goloka on that day. It's a big festival like that. So it's the biggest festival of the year. So then it is the day where we say to Krishna, Idam Krishnaya Idam Namama. When we do the Jagya, we do the Jagya and we offer the oblation, we say Swaha, and then we say Idam Krishnaya Idam Namama. Idam Krishnaya, this is for Krishna. Idam Namama, it is not for me. At least on Janmashtami, at least one day a year do this. Right? At least one day of the year, offer everything to Krishna. Idam Krishna, idam na mama. Right? This is all for Krishna, it is not for me. Just do it for one day. Just do pure devotional service just for one day. All the other days of the year you worry about whether or not you're going to get the pakoras or the rasgullas at breakfast or the last piece of avocado on the toast or, you know, whatever you think of. But one day just think of Krishna. That's why we fast. Why do we fast? Right? What's the reason for fasting? Because then otherwise most of the day you're thinking about what you're going to eat. Right? Most of the time while you're in Bhagavatam class you're thinking about what's for breakfast. Right? And then we start thinking, as soon as we have breakfast, we start thinking about, okay, what's for lunch? And then what's for dinner? Like that. So we think about ourselves pretty much all the time. So therefore, at least on Janmashtami, think just of Krishna. Think, what does Krishna want? Don't worry about me. And just fully give yourself to Krishna. Now, that's the way you should chant the holy name every day. What is in your heart? You think, what is it that I want? What is your deepest spiritual desire? What is the thing that you want more than anything else? The holy name can fulfill that. So we have to be conscious, what is it that we're desiring? Are we desiring the material things? Or are we desiring the spiritual things? So then, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. What does rasa mean? What does rasa mean? Mellow taste, rasa. We say ras gula or ras malai. What is a gula like when you don't have any ras? Right, you get the gula, yeah, and there's no ras, there's no juice. Right, you just have the paneer, and there's no juice in it. Is it pleasurable to eat? Right, not so pleasurable. But then you soak it in the juice, in the ras. Right, or the malai, you soak the ball in the kheer, and then it becomes very palatable. Therefore, when the vegetables, when they have rasa in it or juice, they become very palatable. You get fresh vegetables, pick them, and they have rasa in it, and then you become very satisfied from eating them. But if the vegetable is all dried up, if the vegetable is old and dry and has no juice left in it, it's not pleasurable to eat. So, the holy name is Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is Rasa Vigraha. It is full of rasa or pleasure to chant. So you have to cultivate this taste. You have to get a taste for chanting. This is called Nama Ruchi. Nama Ruchi means developing taste for chanting. Chanting should not be dry. It should be like eating rasgullas. Do you like eating rasgullas? Hands up if you like eating rasgullas. Some people don't like it. Okay, but think of something you do like. Gulab jamun. Hands up if you like gulab jamun. Okay, nearly 100% I think. Yeah. Okay, I like gulab jamun. I can eat so many. After a feast, 36 like that. Big ones, no problem. I don't do it anymore because then my body does not recover the way it used to. But in the past, I've done. We have a big feast, and then after the feast, 36 big ones, no problem. Like that. And so it is so much nectar, rasa. So the holy name should be like that. Give me one more. Give me one more. When you're taking gulab jamuns, you say, hey, just give me one more. No one's watching. Just give me one more. Like that. So when you're chanting the holy name, it should be like that. There should be taste for chanting. Yes, let me keep chanting. Let me keep chanting. Let me keep chanting. Prabhupada said, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? Prabhupada said, when you chant, you should feel like chanting 16,000 rounds. Is that how you feel when you chant your rounds in the morning? I just want to chant, 16,000. This is not enough. I want to keep chanting. This should be the taste which comes if we chant the holy name properly. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinitva Nama Nama No. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. Abhinitva Nama Nama No. There's no difference between the name of Krishna and Krishna himself. It is identical. So one of the main points of Srimad Bhagavatam is for us to understand that the holy name is not different from Krishna. And it is the process of purification, is to chant the holy name. This is one of the main points the Bhagavatam is stressing. The glories of the holy name. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he relished hearing the Bhagavatam more than any other scripture. And then he spoke the Bhagavatam in 8 concise verses. That is called? Shikshastika. Shiksha. Shiksha means instruction. Directly from Mahaprabhu himself, uttered by his own mouth, penned by his own hand. Generally, he did not write anything. He just spoke. Rupa Goswami wrote, Sanatana Goswami wrote, Raghunath Das Goswami wrote, others wrote, but he spoke, and then they wrote down what he said. Shiksha. But the Shikshastika he wrote with his own hand. Ashtika, 8 verses. In that Shikshastika, you go from the very beginning of spiritual life to the very end of spiritual life in 8 verses. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam is within those 8 verses. So what does the Shikshastika glorify? Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. Sankirtana, chanting the holy name. And the Bhagavatam, as we said in the beginning of the class, the process of purification taught by Srimad Bhagavatam, which is mentioned in the second canto, is Harinam Anukirtanam. Harinam, chanting the holy name of Hari. Who is Hari?
The lion.
Yeah, the lion like Krishna. No? Harinam Anu. What does Anu mean?
Following,
yep. What else does it mean?
Single one.
One, yeah, single. What else does it mean? What's that?
Only.
Only, yeah. What else does it mean? Anu. Yeah. Okay. Anu means small. Anu. Small. You are?
Anu.
Anu. We are small. All of us are small. No matter how big we think we are, we're actually little, like that. You have to feel little in front of Krishna. If you feel like, oh, I am big, I'm good. Oh, Krishna, I'm such a good cook. I'm such a good Sankirtan leader. I am such a good manager. I'm such a good class giver. I'm such a good pot washer. I am such a good pujari. No one can wave the chamara like me. We think like this. We think we are very significant. But if you chant the holy name, thinking you are significant, you won't get a taste for the chanting. That's why Mahaprabhu says in the third verse, Trinada pi sunichena, torora pi sivishnuna. You have to think you're lower than straw on the street. Then you will get a taste for the chanting. So it's Harinam Anu Kirtanam. Anu means small. Anu also means follower. Just like we have Ram Anuja. Anu. Who is Ramanuj? Lakshman. Lakshman always follows Ram. Anuj. Ram Anuj. Always following Ram. Wherever there's Ram, there is Lakshman following. Right? So Anu means we are followers. Harinam Anu Kirtanam. You have to do your chanting following in the footsteps of your spiritual master and your Param Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and the Vaishnava Acharyas, the great Acharyas in disciplic succession, and the Six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and the Panchatattva. This is Anu Kirtan. Right? You follow, you chant as they chanted. How did they chant? What did Lord Chaitanya look like when he was chanting his japa? Can you imagine when Lord Chaitanya was chanting what he looked like? Or did you ever see Srila Prabhupada on the video chanting his japa? Or did you ever see your spiritual master chanting his japa? So how do you chant your japa? Is it like that? Are you following their mood in chanting? Do you have that mood? So this is the process. The process is Harinam Anu Kirtanam. You have to learn. The Bhagavatam is teaching us how to chant the holy name. Chanting is not mechanical. It is a great science. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada called the nectar of devotion the science of bhakti yoga. It is a science. It means you have to know how to do it. Just like if you go in the kitchen to cook something, if you don't know how to do it, it won't turn out. Just like, do you know how to cook halibut? Right? I don't know how to do it. I never learned. I don't know how to cook. I can cook khichdi like that. I can cook porridge and a few other things like that. Not many things I can cook. I can make orange juice pretty good. A few things I can make. But I don't know how to make halibut. Never learned like that. So, if I go in there in the kitchen and I just try to make it, I don't know what it will become. Right? But if you know the science, right, if you follow it in the parampara, you learn, and then it will come out very perfectly. So your chanting has to be followed perfectly. You have to follow the mood of the previous acharyas, and then you will get some result in your chanting. So one of the main purposes of the Bhagavatam, as Jiva Goswami explains, is to glorify the process of chanting the holy name. And this particular verse, the 14th verse of the first chapter, glorifies the holy name. If you chant the holy name, Krishna comes. That's the science. And Krishna is feared by fear personified. Just like you may be a very scary person, you may be a big, strong, scary person, but if a lion walks in, you're not so big and strong anymore. Right? You put the biggest, strongest guy, you put him in with the lion, right, and then you'll see how big and strong he is. In the old days, the Kshatriyas used to fight lions with their hands. Bhimasen used to kill many lions. When they were wandering in the forest, sometimes the lions would attack. He would get with their hand, and he would just break them with his hand. Like that. So Krishna, if he comes in the form of his holy name, we have nothing to fear. Like that. So we'll stop here, and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Do you want?
Well,
that's up to you. No one else can answer what you want, but what you want. Why did you put those clothes on today? Yeah. Why did you put those on? Yeah, but you want to look a particular way, right? That's why you dress like this, because you want to fit in. You're in the West now, right? You want to go down to. Do you go to uni or you go to? So you go to uni and you want to look like all the other uni guys. Like that. Yeah, but my point is, why are you dressing like that? You could have any clothes in your bag. You could put dhoti and kurta on. What's that? Yeah, I know, but you could. If you desire, that's the point I'm making. If you desire, then you will put on particular clothes. Right? We put on the clothes that we desire to put on. No one makes us dress in one way or dress in another way. You brought the clothes, no one else brought them. Why did you buy those clothes? Because you want to look a particular way. So that is your desire. Right? So we dress according to our desire. Right? How does Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj dress?
But there is a time when you ignore it, that you don't know what you want.
No, you always want something. There's not a time where you never know. Okay, maybe your mind is flickering. Oh, I want this or I want that. But you always want something. That's the point. Desire. Right? Desire is the nature of the soul. It is the nature of the soul to desire. You cannot become desireless. It's not possible. You always have to desire something. No? So, okay, you said you can't make up your mind. You've got two things in your mind, or five things in your mind, but still, you're desiring something. Like that. So it's up to you what you want. You have to ask yourself, what do you want? Janmashtami is on Monday, right? So you have to come and sit before the deities. You have to spend as much time as you can on Janmashtami in front of the deities. Spend time with them. Come and spend time, just sit and chant. Kirtan goes on 24 hours, right? Goes on all day. Just come and sit and chant if you don't have other services to do, and just be with the deities. Right? And then look into your heart, right? And think, okay, 1 year has passed since I sat here. Right? What am I desiring? Have I got closer to you, or am I further away? Is my desire to come close to you getting stronger, or is it getting weaker? So you constantly have to look in your heart and see what you desire. What you desire is up to you. That's your choice. No one is making you do anything. Does that answer your question? I hope I didn't confuse you more.
No.
Is it okay?
It's still the same answer. That you have to know what you want. But my problem is I don't know what sometimes, you know.
Yeah, so that means you need a guru. Yeah, not probably. you need a guru. Everyone needs a guru. Because in the material world, we tend to desire things which are not good for us. So that's why we have a guru, or you have a husband, or you have a father, or you have a, you know, senior Vaishnava, or you have a Shiksha guru or a Diksha guru like that. Because we don't know what is good for us sometimes. So therefore, our authority says, this is good for you. Hare Baba. Listen, this is good for you. Right? I remember one time I was up in that room, not the where the sannyasis usually stay, the one next door, with my guru, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And we're having some discussion about something, and he was asking me, why do you want this? Like that. It was quite intense because he was being heavy on me. He was correcting me on something. He said, why do you want this? And I said, oh, because of this and this, like that. And he said, who cares what you want? Who cares what you want? Like that. That's the guru. Who cares what you want? It doesn't matter what you want. What do I want? What does the guru want? What does Krishna want? Right? The guru, why do we surrender to guru? Or our husband or our father or like that? Why? Because they know what is best for us. And they direct us. Because they know what Krishna wants. And then they direct us. You should do like this also. Like that. So you need a guru. So if you can't make up your mind, get a guru. Okay? So you have Shiksha Guru, means you have someone you take shelter of. Like, you know, you're part of the Bhakti Bhavan. Is he part of the Bhakti Bhavan? Part of the, no, not that. Okay, so you should start taking shelter. There's so many devotees here, it can give you shelter. So you need to take shelter under the devotees. That's why we say Anukirtana. You go under. Small means you go under. Right? Take shelter. Under the umbrella, under Govardhan Hill. Krishna's under Govardhan Hill, the devotees under Govardhan Hill, I better get under there as well. Take shelter. Like that. And then you won't have problems with your mind. Right? Because then you say to the devotees, you say, Prabhu, what do I do? And they say, do this. And you say, okay. And then you do it, and it's auspicious. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to be a little heavy with you, but... Okay. I like your clothes anyways. I like the dhoti better, but anyway, so it's a good start. Any other points?
So you mentioned spiritual birthdays celebrate Janmashtami, so could it be, but after we celebrate Janmashtami because the Krishna appears here to celebrate that, but Krishna is always present there, so how would they celebrate Janmashtami?
Because there's a particular day which they say is Janmashtami. They say that is Janmashtami. They say that is the appearance day. He never appeared, but they say that is the day. Like that. It is the Ashtami. Like that. So in the spiritual world, the moon is there. Same like here. You know, moon goes in 1 month, goes through the cycle. Sun comes up every day, goes down every day. Ashtakaliya, Leela. There is time in the spiritual world. Right? But it is spiritual time. What is the effect of time in this world? It destroys. Krishna says, I am the destroyer. But in the spiritual world, the time does not destroy. So Krishna does not appear, but still there is a Janmashtami. There's an appearance day. They had Baladev Purnima the other day. There was a full moon in the spiritual world the other day, so they had Purnima. And then Ashtami is coming. And then the one after that is Radhashtami, so that is coming as well. So. A few differences up there. One difference is that Krishna doesn't appear. That's one difference. Second difference is there is no demons. But there is the Abhiman. Abhiman means the rumor that there are demons. They say Keshi is coming or Arista is coming and everyone gets... Because it increases the rust of the pastime. But they never actually appear. The demon never actually comes. In the material world, the demon personifies. But in the spiritual world, he is not there. And the other thing in the spiritual world is the gopis do not have husbands. Whereas in the material world, they have husbands. They personify to give some obstacle to meet Krishna. But in the spiritual world, there's no husband for the gopi. But they feel, Radharani feels, I am married to Abhimanyu. But he's never actually there. Abhiman means mental conception. He's not actually there. Or he's actually described to be Krishna's shadow. But he's not actually there. You never see him like that. But Radharani thinks, oh, I'm married to this person. Like that. You know. And that makes it very difficult for me to meet with Krishna. You know, I've got this mother-in-law, and I've got this sister-in-law, and I've got this, you know, husband, and it makes it difficult to meet with Krishna. Like that. But they're not actually there. They're never personified. So that's the difference. But Janmashtami is there. Any other question or comment? Someone else had their hand?
Do you want to tell us the story? Haridasa was challenged about the holy name, and that person lost his belief. No skip because of leprosy. Do you want to tell us the story?
Yeah, because he said to Haridas Thakur says that if you chant the holy name, you will get unlimited benefit. And this person said, no, that is not true. He challenged Haridas Thakur. The holy name is not so powerful. He says, he said to Haridas Thakur, if you are over exaggerating, your nose will fall off. Right? Or did he say it the other way? Did he say, my nose will fall off? Like that. But anyway, there's some counter like that.
He said his nose will fall off.
Okay, so then in 3 days his nose fell off. I can't remember the details on them. So, any other question or comment? Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Yeah.